Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on a passage from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58, where Jesus invites people to munch on his flesh and slurp his blood. It's shocking imagery, really visceral. So let's see what's happening here. For many years, our family shared Christmas lunch with friends and strangers. We'd put the word out and eat with whoever wanted. And one year, it was huge. Friends and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends all turned up at our door. Some of them I knew and loved, others I hadn't met before. But gradually I came to realize almost everyone there was gay. And almost everyone came from a religious family which had rejected them because of their sexuality. Our world eats people alive. It's how we try to build community. Only this week, during his maiden speech in Parliament, Senator Fraser Anning showed us how. He described an Australia in which us, quote-unquote, is white, theoretically Christian, probably male, and certainly straight. And he suggested that everyone else, that is everyone who's not white, not Christian, probably not male, and certainly not straight, all those people are a threat to be excluded or dealt with. It was a pathetic attempt to create not just a furor, but a sense of social cohesion by uniting straight white Australians against everybody else. What Senator Anning did was disgusting, and it shows absolute contempt for the Judeo-Christian values he claims to espouse, but it's nothing new. It's simply the latest example of an ancient technique called scapegoating. Human societies have a tendency to identify someone in their midst as other, and this person or that people group becomes a scapegoat. They are portrayed as different or sinful or evil, somehow capable of bringing threat or undermining the society. Without a circuit breaker, the society whips itself into a frenzy of fear and hatred, and the scapegoat is eventually rejected or even killed. This gives the society a powerful shared emotional experience called catharsis, and it binds the remaining members together for a little while. And then the cycle begins again. People have been doing this cycle for thousands of years. Jews scapegoated Canaanites. Romans scapegoated Jewish rebels. Nazis scapegoated people who were Jewish or Romani or LGBTI+, or who had disabilities. Jesus was a scapegoat. Better that one man die for the sake of the mob, said the high priest, and so they killed him. Here in Australia, white people scapegoat people of colour. Indigenous Australians are portrayed as shiftless layabouts. Muslims are portrayed as terrorists. Young Sudanese people are portrayed as members of violent gangs, and people seeking asylum are portrayed as a threat to our sovereignty. All scapegoats, and all so people can pretend that our country is homogeneous and safe and strong. Just as my Christmas friends and friends of friends and friends of friends of friends were scapegoated by their families and churches on the basis of their sexuality or gender. Our world eats people alive. It always has. It's how we try to build community. But it never works. Catharsis offers only temporary relief, which is why the cycles of hatred and exclusion keep recurring. For anything to change, we need a circuit breaker. And that circuit breaker is Jesus. Jesus offered himself as the perfect scapegoat for our violence. And through that offering, he exposed the scapegoating mechanism in all its ugliness and its sin. And his death and resurrection, which exploded his spirit into the world, makes possible a new community, a true community, which is based on justice and mercy and peace. Because of him, we no longer need to devour vulnerable people. We no longer need scapegoats. For Jesus turns our violence away from others and invites us to devour him instead. And he does so using incredibly visceral language, saying, "Those who munch my flesh and slurp my blood live in me, and I in them." His words are shocking. Munch flesh, slurp blood. So why is he saying this? Well, to understand, we need to enter his worldview. Jewish law bans anyone from eating blood, and the reason is this, according to Leviticus: the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Many cultures believe that the blood contains the spirit or the life force of an animal. If we eat the blood, we consume the spirit, and that spirit affects ours. In this way of thinking, if we like our steaks rare, we become slow and a bit like a cow. If we drink chicken blood, we become bird-brained and scatty and frightened by everything. If we cannibalize a warrior, the warrior's spirit makes our spirit stronger. And if we consume Jesus Christ, his flesh and his blood, then his spirit will live in us and shape our spirits, gradually forming us into his own image. So Jesus reckons that consuming him and being consumed by him will make us more like him, will make us more like him. And so I reckon that those of us who eat his flesh and drink his blood will become more compassionate, more hospitable, more just, and more extravagantly loving. Like Jesus, our guts will wrench when we see people being scapegoated. And like Jesus, we will reach out to those people. During his lifetime, Jesus was harshly criticized for eating and drinking with scapegoats. He ate with all the wrong people, sinners and sex workers and government collaborators. His guts wrenched with compassion for poor people and sick people and people who suffer from mental illness, and he healed them. He listened to and he loved foreigners and women and children. As we consume him and are consumed by him, our Christ-consumed hearts will also turn to such people and to all who are sidelined and rejected today. As we befriend and come to love all sorts of people, and as they befriend and come to love us, we form a new and inclusive and quirky community of beautiful humans who are united by the Spirit of Christ. This new community has no need for scapegoats, no need for violence, and no thoughts of them and us. For in Christ's community there are no distinctions. All are one in Christ. This new way of living certainly has its challenges. But in my experience, it is also deeply life-giving, just as Jesus promised. He said, "Those who munch my flesh and slurp my blood have abundant life. And those who let Jesus' hospitable and inclusive spirit shape their own will know life in all of its fullness." So munch his flesh, slurp his blood, and become fully alive, alive in love, alive in Christ, alive in each other, and alive to the possibilities of his glorious table and all those who take and eat. Amen. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you another time. God bless.